Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
While Boston is definitely a walking city
and a subway city,
a lot of people still take cabs to get around. Some 2 million taxi trips a year come from Logan Airport alone. And Meghna, you walk to work. Do you ever take a cab around town?
I actually try to limit that as much as I possibly can. You know, for example, even though the T might take a really long time to get there, in comparison to a taxi fare, the T is like 25 times cheaper.
Well, it's true. Taxis are pricey, and here's a fact. For most types of trips, fares in Boston are the highest in North America. And today, Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa kicks off a two-part series in which he tries to figure out why taxi fares are so high and what, if anything, can be done to bring them down.
The next time you land at Logan and get a little impatient waiting for a cab to take you home, remember that your cabbie has probably been waiting for you a lot longer. Because while you were returning your tray table to its upright and locked position, he was on the ground, trapped in a kind of taxi limbo.
There's a separate parking lot called the pool. You can't just drive around the airport. You'll see it's this whole complicated system.
This is Tom, last name unmentioned because he maintains a rather candid blog about his profession called Boston, the Hack. Like all cabbies that want to pick up a fare at the airport, he has to pull into this huge Massport facility that most of us will never see.
You actually got to pay a toll that gets charged on your fast pass.
Back behind the car rental lots, Tom approaches what looks like a drive-in movie theater, but it's actually dozens upon dozens of cabs arranged in neat queues.
It's like entering the fourth ring of hell. It makes you wonder if it's really worth it.
He pulls in, takes a ticket with a number on it, finds his space.
And?
Turns the engine off.
Excitement begins.
Yes. 40 minutes later, a giant digital sign tells Tom his number is up. Proceed to gate B2, where finally Tom picks up his fare.
I'm going near the Malden Center T stop.
Sure. Malden Center?
Yep.
This is what Tom goes through to pick you up. And he does it making maybe $100 on a 12-hour shift. As expensive as fares may seem, the money ain't going to him. Nonetheless, fares are, indisputably, expensive.
How much does this trip usually run you?
I want to say around $40 total. I was just in Chicago, and it seemed like cabs were much cheaper there. My general sense is that they're cheaper in D.C. and New York City, too. But I don't know. I don't take cabs very often.
Maybe not, but this guy does.
I am Mike DeGraw-Birch. I am the creator of TaxiWiz.com, a service that provides taxi fare estimates for 20 cities across the globe.
Basically, he looks at all the big cities in which the government sets the fares.
Lots of cities like Miami, for example, it's kind of up to the operator to determine what the fares are going to be. New York, Boston, L.A., cities like that have structured metered fares in effect so that you don't have to contact each individual operator to find out what the fares are going to be.
In all the big cab towns like Philly or Chicago, it basically works the same way. There's a flag drop, that is, the money that you owe just for getting in the cab.
Boston is a $2.60 flag drop.
And then there's the per mile charge.
And it costs $2.80 a mile.
And that's how it works in New York, Boston, D.C. Same structure, but different price tags.
Okay, so what's the priciest city in which to take a cab?
If you're going 3 miles or more, Boston is the most expensive city that TaxiWiz does fares for.
Some cities, like Toronto or New York, have higher flag drop fees than us, so the really short trips cost a little more. But once you go any real distance, Boston's sky-high $2.80 per mile charge kicks in, making Boston the most expensive major cab town in North America.
We've got a bunch of cheaper cities in there.
Oh, look at Montreal, only $1.60 per mile.
A mere $1.60 Canadian a mile. D.C. has a $3 flag drop fee and a $1.50 a mile. Really inexpensive taxi, actually.
If you want to see how other cities stack up, go to WBUR.org/Boston, where TaxiWiz has helped us put together some charts.
Significantly less than the $2.80 a mile that you pay in Boston.
So what's going on here? Sure, the city sets the fares, but they do so in response to lobbying from the industry. So I asked a bunch of people involved with the industry, why are cabs so much more expensive in Boston than they are most everywhere else?
They're medallions.
These medallions.
The investment in the cab medallion.
The cost of the medallion.
Okay, we'll get back to all those people and explain what that means in a second. But first, a quick lesson in how the cab business works from our friend Tom, the hack.
I pay a rental for this car. It works out to $95 for the night. Basically, I'm working to pay off my nut, the rental. Everything after that is mine.
That's after gas, of course. He could probably make a lot more if he owned his own car, and I'm guessing he could afford one. What he probably couldn't afford is the license to operate that car as a taxi. It's a little square plate nailed to the back of the cab. There are only 1,825 of them available for the whole city of Boston. And the last time one went up for auction, it sold for about $400,000. That's what they call a medallion.
There's absolutely no economic justification for a license like that.
Edward Rogoff is a business professor at Baruch College in New York and a longtime observer of the taxicab industry. On which, he says, medallions are a pox.
Other than the cost of the driver, they represent the highest cost of operating the vehicle. They serve no economic purpose except a way to take income away from the drivers and to raise fares.
The medallion system was first introduced in Boston in the 1930s. It was the Depression. A lot of people who'd lost their jobs tried to make ends meet driving a cab, and they were desperate. They crowded the streets, they undercut the market, so the established cab industry lobbied government to license taxis and to permanently cap the number of licenses. These medallions, which were originally issued for just a few bucks, have since become a commodity to be traded by investors. A handful of people and financial institutions now own all the medallions in Boston, which they lease to the people who actually provide taxi service.
The delivery of taxi service to the public is not best served by a medallion system.
Really?
Really.
That's Mark Cohen saying that. He's the director of licensing for the Boston Police Department and the chief taxi regulator for the city of Boston. Along with driver licenses, medallions are what give him power over the industry. And even he thinks they needlessly drive up fares.
The fact is that a tremendous amount of the money that goes over the meter goes to bankers and investors. It doesn't go to cab drivers who are working very hard.
Now, there are car and limo services out there that don't need these medallions to operate, but they're not allowed to pick up street hails, and they're not allowed in cab stands or in that pool at Logan Airport. And why not? Mark Cohen at the police department is in charge of all of this, right? He thinks the medallion system is needlessly siphoning money out of the cab industry. Why can't he just wave his hand and say, from this day forth, no medallion required?
It's an issue of property. That when they decided to have taxi medallions be worth something, the state cannot step in and just take it away because it seems like a good idea. That being said, the next alternative is to, what, buy back the cab medallions? Well, I'm not very good at arithmetic. I'll let you do that.
Okay, $400,000 times 1,825 medallions equals $730 million in market capitalization, which I guess
is more money right now than the city of Boston can use to do that project.
That reporting from Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. And Adam, if medallions are a pox, I say, upon the taxi industry, is there a cure for this pox?
Good question. We'll look into that tomorrow.
What do other cities do if not the medallion system?
It gets very, very complicated. Some cities have deregulated industries where basically it's anything goes. Other cities have looked into some middle ground, but it gets complicated, and we'll look at that tomorrow. But basically, here's the thing. So we're stuck in the medallion system. So is Chicago. So is Toronto. So is Philadelphia. So are all these other big cab cities. They all have these medallion systems. Now, for whatever reason, the market has deemed that a Boston medallion is worth $400,000, and that's more than they're worth in every comparable city except for New York, where one recently sold for, get this, $700,000.
But still, as you mentioned, though, taxi fares are cheaper in New York, though, than they are here in Boston.
Exactly. So something else is going on here to make Boston cab fares the highest in big city North America for most trips. And it can't just be a medallion. So we're going to explore that, some other theories regarding that tomorrow.
All right, Adam, we'll look forward to that. And thank you.
Sure.
Not only are cab fares expensive in Boston, but many cabbies will only accept cash, no credit cards. And it's not supposed to be that way. So joining us in the studio now is WBUR's Bob Oakes, host of Morning Edition, who'll be reporting on this tomorrow morning. So, Bob, good to see you.
Anthony, hello.
Hello. So my understanding is that Boston cab drivers are required to accept credit cards. What's going on?
Well, in fact, for a year and a half, they've been required by regulation to accept credit cards. And what we've been doing is looking into complaints that some cabbies are refusing credit card payments, as you said. And it turns out that the Boston Police Department gets up to 10 complaints a day about cabbies not taking credit cards.
Hmm. Now, are there any moves afoot to force cabbies to comply with that regulation?
Well, the Hackney Division of the Boston Police Department is very active in fielding all these complaints. And in fact, when it finds a driver out of compliance, refusing to take a credit card, it slaps an almost automatic 3-day suspension on that driver. But the drivers say, you know, sometimes the machines just don't work. And some passengers occasionally feel so guilty that sometimes they go out of their way to try to pay the drivers with cash.
For the most part, cabs don't take debit card, so I've been in a cab and tried to ask them to drop me off at an ATM machine so I can get cash because I don't want to go through the of trying to use my debit card. And they still give you when you try to stop at an ATM machine and get cash, and it kind of sucks.
And so that's one frustrated passenger in a Boston taxi that you interviewed, Bob. And we're going to be hearing more from you tomorrow morning on Morning Edition on this very subject. So thanks for coming in.
That's right, Anthony, and thank you.
And coming up after the break, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both.
Anthony, hang on for a second. You can't finish that because we don't have the rights to that. You want to get us sued?
Oh, no, I don't want to get sued, and we'll explain what we're talking about, but stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakravarti. This is Radio Boston.